If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Welcome to CBS Mornings on this Wednesday, October 13th. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And I'm Nate Burleson.
This morning, we're going to start here with Star Trek's William Shatner, as you heard, going where no 90-year-old man has ever gone before, a 90-year-old woman either, for that matter. The actor best known as Captain Kirk will be on the second crewed rocket mission for Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin company with three other passengers. Shatner will become the oldest person ever to fly into space. Mark Strassman is covering the launch from Blue Origin Spaceport in West Texas. Mark, before he left, he told us he was anxious, he was excited, and he was a little nervous.
He's all of those things, Gail, and good morning. It must be hard for William Shatner to believe this moment has finally come. I mean, after all these years, he's finally about to become Captain Kirk and go to space. And so here on this massive ranch that Jeff Bezos owns, he'll launch about 3 miles behind me later this morning and fly to the edge of space and back.
I'm going up into space. I don't know how many people can say that.
At 90, William Shatner has lived long. Jeff Bezos has prospered. Together, they'll turn Star Trek into reality, launching Shatner warp speed to the edge of space. Total up and down trip time, about 10 minutes. 55 years after Shatner's Captain James T. Kirk first defined star voyaging on television.
And it looks like there's a great deal of curiosity about this fictional character, Captain Kirk, going into space. So let's go along with it and enjoy the ride.
Flying with Shatner, who was comped a ticket by Blue Origin, to millionaire businessmen and a Blue Origin executive.
And you're going to hear the engine cut off.
They've trained over the last 2 days for this moment, their space tourism adventure in Blue Origin's New Shepard crew capsule.
Pause here with me, Bill, for a second.
Pausing to watch legions of Star Trek fans. They include professional astronauts with childhood memories traveling the cosmos with a Starship Enterprise.
I watched Star Trek growing up, so I think that's awesome.
Like the members of SpaceX Crew 3, scheduled to launch to the ISS later this month.
Who wouldn't want to see William Shatner fly in space? I don't know anybody who wouldn't.
Back in July, millions watched Bezos launch himself into space. Now it's Captain Kirk's turn. Not William Shatner's final frontier, but his next one.
I want to look at that orb and appreciate its beauty and its tenacity is sustaining this life of ours, which allows us to look with awe and wonder at the miracle of space.
By design, including Shatner on this flight is a publicity bonanza for Blue Origin. The two businessmen flying with him paid their own way, but Blue Origin has never disclosed the price of the ticket. But for the rest of us, or at least for most of us, that price tag is bound to be in the stratosphere. Tony, big moment for Shatner, big moment for Star Trek fans all over.
Big moment for all of us. I mean, four people are going up today, but the bigger mission is a future where millions of people are living and working in space. And that means it's an exciting time to be alive. Mark, thank you very much. Now to something much less exciting. Americans may need to start their holiday shopping early this year because of bottlenecks in the world's supply chains. Shipping containers and unloaded ships are jamming up ports, and there's a shortage of truck drivers to get the products out to customers. President Biden is meeting with business executives and port directors today to try to address this problem. Meanwhile, our Weijia Zhang is at the White House for us covering all of it. Weijia, hope you started shopping early. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Tony, and good morning to everybody. The administration just announced that several of the companies President Biden is meeting with today, like UPS and FedEx, will be moving to 24/7 operations to try to clear up some of that congestion. And two ports in California that handle 40% of the country's cargo containers will also open around the clock. But some supply chain experts worry that still won't be enough to get things moving.
Shipping delays will result in empty shelves.
Carly McGinnis is the COO of a California-based toy company struggling to fulfill some orders because their products are trapped in the port of Long Beach. McGinnis's team considered taking drastic measures to retrieve them.
Chartering a helicopter to come and try to pull the container out of the shipyard. We also debated renting a U-Haul to unload it ourselves.
Thousands of containers are stuck because the ships transporting them have nowhere to go.
It's like taking 10 lanes of freeway traffic and squeezing them into five.
Ports across the country are dealing with similar bottlenecks. In March 2020, COVID restrictions caused ports to cut capacity. As the economy rebounds, there's more stuff to import. But on the ground, trucks can't move it fast enough, due in part to a driver shortage. The Biden administration is working with states to speed up the process to get trucking licenses out faster. Ryan Peterson, who runs a tech company for Global Logistics, says the help can't come soon enough.
In any complex system where you see the same input leading to longer and longer delays, that is a very worrying sign that things are getting worse and worse and worse.
And with less supply on the shelves, prices are surging. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen spoke with CBS Evening News anchor and managing editor Nora O'Donnell.
Is the economy unjust when we get the pandemic under control? These pressures will mitigate, and I believe we'll go back to normal levels.
Of course, one big question is how is all of this going to impact the holiday shopping season? Now, some companies had the foresight to start bringing things in early, but others that are waiting for inventory cannot guarantee an arrival date. So Ryan Peterson, who we just heard from, says to start shopping now. Nate.
That's right. Weijia, thank you. Now, it's not only truck drivers who are in short supply. Many businesses are suffering from a major shortage of workers. A record-breaking 4.3 million Americans quit in August. That's the highest number ever recorded. And with the 10.4 million jobs open, employers are scrambling to find help. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger joins us right now. Jill, the supply chain issues are causing major headaches for consumers. How long is this going to last?
Well, I think, unfortunately, these logistical log jams, shortage of base materials and goods, it's going to persist and definitely through the holiday season, probably well into 2022, according to the economists that I've been talking to. So also probably going to see higher prices persist right through the beginning of next year, probably through the end of the first quarter.
Can we talk about this great resignation as being called? Why are so many people walking away from good-paying jobs?
Are they just unhappy with their jobs?
I think what has happened in the last 19 months has done something seismic to the labor force. One economist said to me, it is as if all of us went into a 19-month meditation about our lives, our families, and our work. This is causing changes up and down the income stream. Low-pay workers may say, I'm not going to take that bad job with no benefits and erratic hours. Some of the frontline workers completely burned out. They may retire early, go a different direction. There are also those folks who are basically saying, I learned a lot about myself, my family. I want a better work-life balance, and I've got to figure out how to do that. What's really clear to me is this will persist, and it is something that is staying in this labor force for a while.
I'm hearing about this more and more, people doing a lot of self-reflection about what really matters to them. What should people do if they're thinking about quitting their job? What should they do? What should they know?
Well, if you have your health coverage through your employer, which, you know, more than 150 million Americans do, you should book those MD appointments, get that stuff scheduled and do it. But while you're at it, before you leave, why not look at what you have in terms of benefits? Explore your health care coverage. What would you do if you lost that coverage? Should you go on the Affordable Care Act? It's a lot more affordable through the end of next year because of stimulus measures. Should you go on COBRA? It can be really expensive. the next level, look at your life, your disability insurance coverage. Can you take it with you? Your retirement plan. Don't just blow out of that retirement plan and take the money. There's a huge tax event when you do that. And I think what's very important, if you're considering leaving, stockpile some cash. Yeah. And the reason is, you don't know how long you're going to be out of the marketplace. I don't want you to stay out too long because you can get rusty skills. But cash is really going to help you get through any transition.
They always say cash is king. But I keep hearing employees have the leverage here because companies have seen people want to work the hybrid model. Do they have the leverage that we keep hearing that they do?
The model has flipped dramatically. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the time to figure out what is important to you. Is it pay? If it's pay, go do research, see what's out there. Go back to your boss, say, I want a higher salary. If that boss is not willing to pay you more, maybe a one-time bonus, maybe extra vacation, maybe benefits. If you want flexibility, go for it right now. Tell your boss, I was productive. I can be productive. I've proven it. And get the deal that you want. Right now, the time is not.
This is highly motivational. Yeah. I want you going in there. Can you take the meetings for people?
Well, I'll be talking to your agent after this.
You also have to know how much the company is making.
Yeah. Well, you've got to know if the company is in a place to be able to give that to you. And if not, maybe it is time to leave.
Yeah. And watch out for those tax events, my least favorite events. Tax events. Jill, thank you very much. We have breaking news this morning that affects travelers on our northern and southern borders. The Biden administration is lifting pandemic travel restrictions that have been blocking people in Canada and Mexico from entering the United States. So starting next month, travelers who prove they are fully vaccinated can now cross the border for non-essential activities like tourism and family visits. Travelers who are not vaccinated will still be kept out if their travel is considered non-essential. By January, all travelers entering from Mexico or Canada for essential travel, including truck drivers, will, however, have to show proof that they are vaccinated.
The U.S. has narrowly avoided a self-imposed economic crisis after a party-line vote in the House. Last night, House Democrats approved a short-term increase to the debt limit, but only until early December. Their colleagues in the Senate, you may recall, did the exact same thing last year. This is to avoid defaulting on America's existing financial commitments. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has warned President Biden that Democrats will be on their own if they want to raise the debt ceiling again.
A rapidly growing wildfire we told you about yesterday is now forcing hundreds of people to evacuate in California. Driven by intense winds, the Alisal Fire has already burned a number of buildings. The fire is about 20 miles northwest of Santa Barbara and just 5% contained. Jamie Yucas has more.
High winds continued to fuel the Alisal fire Tuesday as it threatened homes and ranches while closing down the main freeway through Santa Barbara County. This water-starved land hasn't burned since the mid-1950s.
Couple that with 40 to 50 mile an hour winds, extensive drought, and steep topography. It's just a perfect storm of a fire that's going to be very challenging to contain and to control.
Officials confirmed the fire surrounded the area's ExxonMobil refinery on three sides, but they say the facility is safe.
Along the hillsides, we keep spotting these firenados where the winds become so erratic, combined with the flames and that dry vegetation, it almost looks like a tornado along the mountain.
Dozens of horses were evacuated from ranches throughout the rugged canyons, taken to a showground in Santa Barbara. Some 50 horses had to be moved from the Circle Bar B Ranch, which Patrick Brown and his family have owned for more than eight decades.
The fire season has become more year-round. We're in a dry pattern.
With no end in sight.
With no end in sight.
For CBS Mornings, I'm Jamie Yucas in Goleta, California.
An autopsy on Gabby Petito confirms that the young woman was strangled. Petito was last seen alive in August during a trip with her fiancé. Investigators have ruled her death a homicide. That fiancé, Brian Laundrie, disappeared after he returned alone to the Florida home that they shared with his parents. He's considered a person of interest, and police are still trying to find him. Jerika Duncan has been following this story since it began. Jerika, that was very tough news to hear yesterday. Good morning to you. No, it doesn't.
The coroner would not divulge many details, citing Wyoming. While the autopsy showed Petito's body had been outside in the wilderness there for 3 to 4 weeks before it was found in National Park on September 19th. The coroner said law enforcement officials took DNA samples from her body Petito and Laundrie had been traveling together.
Jerika, we can't hear you.
Your mic is cut
out. We can't hear you. So could we start the copy over? We're having issues with your mic, Jerika. You were going in and out. But this is what Jerika just said. The coroner would not divulge many details, citing Wyoming state law. The autopsy showed that Petito's body had been outside in the wilderness 3 to 4 weeks before it was found in Wyoming's Grand Teton National Park on September 19th. The coroner said that law enforcement officials took DNA samples from her body. Petito and Laundrie had been traveling together for 2 months on a cross-country trip that they were documenting on social media that we all saw. Weeks before her disappearance, Petito told police that she and Laundrie got into a physical altercation. Petito was reported missing on September 11th after Laundrie returned home to Florida in their van without her and refused to cooperate with investigators. Just days later, Laundrie disappeared. His parents told police he went hiking at a nearby nature preserve. Laundrie, as you know, has been charged with unauthorized use of Petito's debit card after she disappeared. In a statement, the Laundrie family attorney wrote, "Brian is still missing, and when he is located, we will address the pending fraud charge against him." Petito's family declined to comment on these autopsy results. Authorities continue to search for Laundrie in that 25,000-acre nature preserve in Florida. It's still so tough. The first thought to me was the family,
yeah,
that they have to hear this. They know the outfit she was wearing. They know her voice. They know her demeanor, and to hear that she died that way. The details, I thought, were difficult.
But it's also encouraging to know the family has started a foundation for her. Mm-hmm. They're going to have an event this weekend, in fact. But they're really hoping to help people who are dealing with missing persons and domestic violence.
Yeah, and I've heard them say it's maddening for them to hear Laundrie's family say he's missing. They're saying he's in hiding.
Right.
It's a very tough story.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.